There was three things that you have always eaten after an embryo transfer. What's the third one?
Made sure my feet stayed warm at all times.
That's not a food that you ate after an embryo transfer.
I did a headstand on the wall.
Queers, queens, and in-betweens, hello and welcome to Same Sex, Same Shit. I'm Rochelle, and some weeks I'm joined by my incredible fiancé Maddie, and other weeks I'm joined by powerhouse queer guests. We love to chat all things lesbian, and each week we're going to be sharing that us queers do the same shit as everyone else, but better. Hello, Maddie.
Hey, Rochelle.
This week you're with me. We're doing another little IVF mini-series episode. So last week we started a little series called IVF mini-series. We want to give you bite-sized pieces of information all about different aspects of the IVF journey, so you have it all in one place. This week we're talking about health hacks. So we're going to be sharing what we did through the IVF process to kind of help us internally, externally. Maddie will be sharing all of the things that she has done through the egg retrievals and embryo transfers, as well as my egg retrieval back in 2022. Don't get your knickers in a knot. We're not healthcare professionals. I am, but not in this area. So don't go taking all of this verbatim. Do your own research. This is just what worked for us, and we want to share it with you. So knowledge is power.
It's mainly just what we did to make us feel better in what we were doing to improve our chances, whether it was a myth or whether it was actually something that was beneficial. It's just what worked for us. And yeah, why not share it?
Exactly. First, fact or recommendation. Not that your facts are overly reliable, given last week's example, but enlighten us. Do you have one?
Maybe I'll go with a recommendation.
Safer.
Is it? This one's a bit of a personal recommendation. I'm not sure if anyone else is having this issue, but don't buy any fruit or vegetables because the fruit flies are coming in from left and right and I can't get rid of them. So clear all health from your cupboards. I'm fucking done with them. They're fucking everywhere. What the hell? So
I can't even. They're out of control. Do fruit flies vomit on everything like normal flies do?
I doubt it. I think they're quite clean. So if it lands on my sandwich, I will still eat it. But it is absurd with how many there. It's like, do you want a coffee? Clap, clap, clap. Because we're just clapping all these fruit flies everywhere. Cannot for the life of us get rid of them. I'm so over it. So if they're not in your household yet, do yourself a favor and literally, honestly, clear it all out just in case. But don't, because health matters.
Agreed. Get fruit with skins on it.
So another pointless recommendation as well as my facts, but I don't care. This is just I needed to vent. So thank you for listening, everybody.
My recommendation is a be wary of. It's a little rumor that I have recently heard, and I'm unsure if it's true or not, so don't come at me if you work on a plane. I heard that you should not drink tea or coffee on a plane because they only change the onboard water tanks once a year.
I'm sorry, what?
This is a recent rumor that I've heard. Not that I drink tea or coffee on the plane anyway, but if you do and you're listening, just be wary. And if you're a flight attendant and you change it more often, I'm very sorry. Let me know and I'll debunk the rumor. But this is just what I've heard, so I'm just sharing it because, like, health. It's a health podcast right now.
You know, I'm sure everyone knows what this looks like. The inside of your kettle, like an old school shitty ass. I've used it too many times, bought it from the op shop or something, and it has that calcified shit on the inside. It's what I'm picturing the barrel on the plane to look like. Like the grey bubbly, like barnacle stuff.
Before we got a zip tap, life-changing, we had a kettle that had that shit around it, and you and I remember for weeks thought we had a moldy kettle, and we were like scrubbing it and soaking it. Turns out it's just like the standard calcified buildup of grime, and you can't really get rid of it.
And it's totally fine. But also, we had our teas tasting like fucking vinegar from all the soaking that we did. Anyways, I'm not sure whether we should open up these podcasts with or these episodes with these facts and recommendations, because I think we're just like venting out shit that doesn't even, it's not even relevant for people to hear. So just,
it's fruit fly season and they don't change their tanks on the airplane.
Causing chaos over here.
All right, let's get into today's episode. So as I said, we're talking all about health hacks that we used, went through, got told to do, what worked for us in the IVF journey. We're not going to talk through all that shit like look after yourself, get enough rest, drink enough water. We all know to do that. That's all standard stuff. There's already enough shit shoved down our throat about self-care and look after yourself. What we want to share is what we did and what helped us. So I'll start briefly with mine, because mine's going to be very brief because I have only done one egg retrieval in the whole IVF journey. Maddie has been the superstar the last few years with egg retrievals, embryo transfers, pregnancies, and everything like that. So I'll let you have your limelight for most of this episode.
This is why if anyone sees me and Rochelle in comparison, I look older. That's the reason why, everybody. My wrinkles are deeper for reasons, okay? And I'm not a youthful Italian.
Oh, big head over here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So when I went through my IVF journey in 2022, the plan, if this is the first time listening to us, Maddie and I did reciprocal IVF. So I went through the egg retrieval process, which means all the stimulating hormones and injections to have my eggs retrieved. We created little embryos and Maddie carried my embryo. So throughout the whole IVF journey, that is all that I've been through. That is all. Like, I say that lightly. It's not light. Going through those injections and an egg retrieval is huge. But in comparison to a big IVF journey, that's what I've done. So the first initial kind of consultations, you get all your bloods taken. And I was told that my AMH levels were low. So your AMH levels correspond to like your egg supply. So the fact that mine were low means that my egg supply is shrinking. Mind you, I was only 26 when all of this was happening. So I was kind of like, what the hell? And my AMH was significantly lower than yours. Hey Mads, like yours was probably four times mine and you're 2 years older. So we were kind of shocked by that. But I also didn't think much of it. I was really optimistic and didn't know what I was kind of getting in for with the IVF process.
We had no idea about anything. That was like the start of everything. So the outcomes weren't that variant in our head at that time, I don't think either.
Yeah. And looking back, 26 is still really young, you know, you're only still in your mid-20s, and to be starting a big process like this, there was so much unknown. The weirdest thing about how all this happened was I had heard that acupuncture was good for fertility and for the IVF process just through friends who had been through it. So I'm a big self-care girly. I love a good infrared sauna. I love a good massage. Love a good acupuncture. So I was like, if you say that acupuncture is good, I guess I'll go get some. And the acupuncturist that I went to was fertility specific. So this is basically where I got all of my information from. So what I did was, I did some acupuncture, really good for improving blood flow to the uterus and improving blood flow to organs and tissues. It's great for everything. So the acupuncturist told me to take three supplements. The first was fish oil. I still take fish oil to this day. I'm vegetarian. It's really good anti-inflammatory. Obviously, that is one that you have to stop before the egg retrieval because it's also blood thinner, but your surgeon and everyone will tell you that. The second one was a good prenatal, a really good quality prenatal, because obviously I was getting my eggs retrieved. So we wanted to, you know, improve my egg health as much as we could. And the third, which I hadn't heard of before, and I hear a lot of people do recommend it in the fertility world, it's CoQ10. It's a really good antioxidant. It cleans up all of those free radicals. So in terms of egg quality, it's like a protective factor from oxidative damage. I don't know a whole lot more about CoQ10, but ideally start taking it a few months before you're going to go through your whole fertility thing. If you want to take it, do your own research, but they're the three that I took. And in regards to my egg retrieval, I only got four eggs, one fertilized. It turned into a little embryo. That is now our beautiful daughter, Macklin. So take what you will from it, but maybe I would have gotten nothing if I didn't try any of that. Maybe I would have had the same outcome. But anyway, regardless, they're what I took. And Otherwise, I've been doing nothing since because, as I said, Maddie is the queen and the star of this show, but that's what I did before my egg retrieval. Mads didn't have an egg retrieval because you were carrying my embryo. So things that you did before your embryo transfer with Mac, well, the biggest thing that you did before your embryo transfer with Mac.
I just ripped into fitness. Isn't that what I did? I just ripped into fitness. I was the best version of me physically and mentally. I'm saying all this stuff that we said we weren't going to cap on, but that's literally what I did. I just exercised 5 out of 7 days at least, and I just was the strongest and fittest and healthiest I think I've ever felt. The only one medical thing that I did change or did get checked and got on top of was my anemia. So I
That's what I wanted you to talk about. So, I'm a fit gal. We all know that you're a fiery. Sorry.
I've always struggled with low iron. Like my dad worked at a blood bank and I could never give blood because he's like, Mads, your blood's shit. No one will survive on your blood. So I was like, cool. So I've always struggled with keeping my iron levels up. So I got my irons checked. It was anemic. Surprise. And then I opted for an iron infusion, which I got done about probably a week before the embryo transfer.
Maybe a bit earlier than that, a couple of weeks. I think it was 2-3 weeks because it takes a few weeks to kick in, I believe.
I think it was quite anyways, it doesn't matter. It was quite close, but all I know is I said
this
I probably
should. This is not usually how we resolve disagreements.
I probably should have done it sooner, but either way, the little embryo stuck. Whether the higher iron levels worked in my favor or it was always going to stick, not sure, but either way, I know iron can have a huge impact on egg quality, egg health, your body, and helping pregnancies stick.
And then so the three things that you did, I made a little list, so I will help coach you. There was three things that you have always eaten after an embryo transfer.
Yes. Yes, I know these ones. Three things, did you say?
Three things, yep.
Okay, I feel like I'm on a test now. I ate Brazil nuts.
You did, and I will say Brazil nuts help to thicken the uterine wall and aids implantation. So it helps kind of make that uterine wall nice and squishy and ideal and optimal for implantation.
Yes, passed. Pineapple, specifically the core.
Yes, which is a funny myth, eating pineapple core specifically. I mean, we ate the whole thing. I swear we only flog pineapple around an embryo transfer. Like, we don't really eat it that much.
Well, when do you get that excited over pineapple?
Yeah, that's true. It is a good fruit, though.
It is tasty. Yes.
It is tasty.
Yeah.
I did do a little research. Now, look, there's not a lot of truth behind the whole pineapple situ. It's a great fruit. It's health, whatever. Eat it. There's this thing in pineapple called bromelain. Anyway, apparently it has anti-inflammatory properties. So anything that's anti-inflammatory is a win in our eyes. So yes, Brazil nuts, pineapple, good job. What's the third one?
Made sure my feet stayed warm at all times.
That's not a food that you ate after an embryo transfer.
I did a headstand on the wall. Joking. Food. Oh, I got the Macca's chippies, the ultimate one.
How could you forget?
This is all on TikTok. I'm sure people have seen this one. This is on social media. Everyone just goes feral over McDonald's chips specifically, not KFC, not Red Rooster. Straight to McDonald's. Have chips. Call your family members. Tell them to eat some too. Apparently that's what people do. So you don't have to tell me twice to have hot chippies.
Let me tell you the reasoning behind it. The idea behind McDonald's chips stems from high sodium, which, surprise, surprise, Macca's chips have a shitload of salt on them. High sodium potentially being beneficial for reducing the risk of overstimulation. So after you have an egg retrieval, you can be at risk of overstimulation with your follicles. They fill back up with fluid, yada, yada, yada. I'm not an embryologist or a fertility specialist. But yeah, basically that's apparently where it stems from. So they are the three things you have always eaten after every embryo transfer. Obviously, we have been very transparent that we've had 2 miscarriages. So again, don't take these things verbatim, but they're little myths. They're fun. They make the process exciting. And, you know, they obviously do have health benefits.
And when you get home, it's like the wait already feels long just from the day you get home from the embryo transfer or whatever, the IUI, whatever you're doing. But it's something to distract yourself, I guess. Like, you're like, oh, maybe I've got to eat my Brazil nut today. And it just kind of keeps you hype, and there's just more than just watching the clock tick by.
Yeah, yeah. They're little fun things.
Yeah.
In regards to then, Mads, obviously you've done 2 egg retrievals. You took the same stuff as me, basically, that I took for my egg retrievals, hey?
Yep.
Prenatals, fish oils, and CoQ10.
Yes.
Yep. So CoQ10, very important. You stop that when you're pregnant. That is only a pre-pregnancy thing. I can't stress it enough. Do your own research, honestly. But this is just what we're doing. I'm just trying to help you guys. We're simple, simple girls. We like to keep things basic. I think the biggest thing that I want to stress is, let's briefly talk about your miscarriages and then the 3rd embryo transfer that you did.
So through all the first 2 embryo transfers, I did the same thing, really. I was trying to stay fit, eat healthy, did those little miss that we just skimmed on, didn't really do anything else. Like, well, I thought I was doing everything I could. I was healthy. I felt that I should be working, and I was confused as to why it wasn't. And then we had a light bulb moment where the 2nd miscarriage were quite deflated, and I was scratching at the walls trying to work out what was happening and why it was happening to us, and if it was me, if there was anything I could do to improve the chances of a positive pregnancy. And then the penny dropped, the big fat penny dropped, that I hadn't checked my iron levels. And that was, one, frustrating because I was like, fuck, I should have checked that. Why did I forget it? And 2, exciting because I had almost a reason to believe there was an excuse why things weren't working. So it made me feel better within myself. So I felt more positive internally, and I had a lift about me saying, oh, I can rectify these issues and get pregnant.
I love this about you. It's a little quirk. You like to have reason for things. You are very much like, I need to know that I've done everything that I can. If something's going on, you just want to be told this is the reason why. You don't like unknown at all. It's very sweet.
Well, see, the thing is, there's 2 types of people in this world. There's one that can, like, put their head on the pillow and go to sleep, aka you. And there's people like me that go and lay in bed and put my head on the pillow and think about all of my days, all my previous days, all my future days, what I could have done better today's. And then I listen to Rochelle snore, basically. So
it sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. And look, you should have big empathy for me that you don't feel like that. You're asleep before your head even touches the pillows, and the things I would do to go to sleep that quickly.
Mm.
Back to the point, I went and got the iron levels checked. And yes, everybody, they were low.
Catastrophically low. I think we have spoken about this in a previous episode, but yeah, like low, 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 low. And I think I share the frustration with you. We were kicking ourselves because you're in the thick of it. You are just going through the motions. There's highs, there's lows, there's weights, there's tears, there's laughter, there's positive pregnancy results, there's phone calls to say that you're not pregnant, there's injections, there's money flying out the door. We were renovating an entire family home. We completely gutted it. We were living out of home with a toddler, both working full time. Like, it was mental. And so in hindsight, I'm like, well, I'm kicking myself that we didn't get that you didn't get your iron levels checked, but also like, fuck, we need to give ourselves a break because
yeah,
we were going through so much.
Whether these stats are accurate or not, but a friend of ours mentioned the other day to us that 90% of miscarriages is to do with the embryo itself and it not being a good quality embryo. And then 10% is kind of you. So that made me feel better as well. Whether those stats are accurate,
again, yeah, a doctor told her that. So yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
You don't. So, I mean, that took a bit of like blame off yourself as well. But at the end of the day, what will be, and the outcome that you get is the outcome you're supposed to have.
But coincidental that we fell pregnant after the iron infusion.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about getting if you're thinking of doing an embryo transfer, get your iron levels checked. That's my top advice from my personal experience.
Yeah,
it's the only thing I did different when I fell pregnant with Macklin is the only thing that I did differently when I fell pregnant with this little bubba on board now. So
literally the only thing. We ate Brazil nuts. I say we, like I'm involved. I just reaped the benefits of this. Yeah, I did. You ate Brazil nuts. You ate pineapple core. You did handstands. You wore egg socks. You ate your Macca's chips. Like, you did everything the same. Yeah, of course, life circumstances are different. We were living in our home. Our obstetrician told us we were a little bit stressed during the other transfers. Whatever, maybe we were. We won't tell her that she was right.
I'm not overwhelmed. Reasonings for the outcomes, regardless, it's all up in the air as to what works, what was beneficial, what wasn't. All you can do is go in the positive mindset and back your own myths.
I hope that you guys take something from that, if anything. If not, that's also so fine. It's your own journey, do your own thing, but that's just what worked for us. And if you've made it this far, you obviously love listening to our voices, so go on to our page, subscribe to us, follow us, you'll get notifications of new episodes, give us a 5-star rating. If it's not 5-star, we don't want to hear about it. And even leave a cheeky review and let other people, the other lesbians, the other gays, the other queers, everyone else know how much you love us.
We love you all. Bye.
Bye. Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week, so if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.